Today's shiur is Masecht Becheiros Daf Tes. We will begin on Daf Tes Samar Aleph at the Mishnah. So we go back now to Hilchos Petach Hamor. And as we've been learning, and now we'll again learn, Petach Hamor, the firstborn male of a donkey, has to be redeemed with a seh or killed with arifa. So says the Mishnah, Hamor Shalei Bikra. We have here a donkey that never had children previously. And it has two male children. We don't know which one is the Bechor, but it doesn't really make a difference, says the Mishnah. We have to give one set to the Kayan. The fact that we don't know which one is the Bechor, the Petach Hamor, isn't relevant because we just have to fulfill our financial obligation of giving the set to the Kayan. Zochav and the Keva. But let's say we have this animal having a male and a female. And we don't know what was, she had twins. But we don't know which one came first, the boy or the girl. So, says the Mishnah, Mafish tla echad la'atzmai. You have to separate one tla. Why? Because there's a possibility that there is a bechor here. But on the other hand, we have the operating principle of Hamotzi Mechaveira Olav Haraya, and since the Kohen cannot conclusively prove that there was a Petach Hamor here, then he's not obligated to give that set to the Kohen. Continues the Mishnah. We have a scenario where we have Shtei Hamor of Shloi Bikru. He has two animals that never had children previously, V'yoldu Shnei Zecharim, and now he walks into the room and he finds two boys. So it means that each one of them had a Petach Hamor. And therefore, Noisen Shtei Tloim L'Koin, he has to do Petach Hamor twice, Pidyon Petach Hamor twice, and give the two set to the Koin. Rashi and the Rishonim ask, what's the Chiddush in this thing? So there's two answers. One answer is that we need not be concerned that both of them came from one, and that the other one, even though it was pregnant, never really delivered a child, just had some sort of a miscarriage. That's one way of explaining. Other way is Rashi, we're going to discuss this more, is teaching us that you have to give a separate seh for every pidyon chamor, pidyon petach chamor, and you can't use one seh for two pidyonim. Zoch v'ne keva. If you walk into the room and there's a zoch v'ne keva here, or even Shnei Zecharim in the Keva. You have two Zecharim in the Keva. Here Halacha is Nois and Tla Echad L'Kayim. Because we don't know if each one of these Chamayrim had a Zachar, and therefore you're obligated to give two. Or did one have a boy? One certainly had a boy. Did one have a boy, and the other one have the girl first? So he has to do Pidyon twice, and only one Tla given to the Kayim. Stay in the Kavis for Zachar, but if there were two in the Kavis and a Zachar born, or Shnei Zacharim v'Shtei in the Kavis saying, you have two girls and a boy, or two boys and two girls. So now there's a real possibility, since you have more than one girl, that every Chamor had a girl first. So therefore you have to do Pidyon twice, but you don't have to give the Kohen anything. And here we come to a very fundamental Machloikus of Rashi and Taisus. In the case that we just discussed, where you're going to do pidyon twice, because maybe you have a chiv of pidyon, on the other hand, you don't have to give anything to the kohen. Can you use the same seh over? In other words, I do one pidyon, I have a seh, and then I'm going to reuse it. Rashi says no. Taisus says yes. Even though, just to jump a little ahead for a moment, the Mishnah is going to teach us that you can reuse a seh, and we've mentioned this in the previous shiurim. Rashi says that the Mishnah is speaking about a very different situation. Rashi says that the Mishnah is speaking about a case, a simple case, where I had a chamor, I did a pidyon, I gave it to the kohen, and he either gives me back my seh or sells me back a seh. So not halachas, I can reuse that seh. But here, that's not the case. The case here is that you had a suffix pidyon, you used a seh, and now you have another Suffolk pigeon, can you reuse it or not? Rashi says no, and Tosfos says yes. At first glance, Tosfos' opinion makes much more sense. Why shouldn't I be able to reuse it? How do we understand Rashi's pshat? All of the achronim try to understand Rashi's pshat. The Marit al-Ghazi says pshat is what happens if the Kohen, we did a Suffolk pigeon, the case that we just discussed, went and seized the seh. We're saying Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. The Kohen has no right to it. But what happens if he was typhus it? What happens if he seized it? So the Marit al-Ghazi wants to say that's the Mechalikus of Rashi and Typhus. According to Rashi, the Kohen shouldn't take it. Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. But if he did take it, he could keep it. And therefore, how could I use a seh that the Kohen could take? Says Rashi. Tosfos, on the other hand, holds that if the Kohen took it, he's not allowed to keep it. We have this operating principle of Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya. And since Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya prevents him from taking it, it's mine, and I can reuse it over and over again. One way of explaining the Machlokes. Rav Shimon Shkop, this is the way I understand Rav Shimon Shkop. When you see Rav Shimon, you have to say, Yom Pshat and Rav Shimon. What I think Rav Shimon is saying is as follows. There's a rule of Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya. The question is, what does Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya tell us? Does Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya tell us that it's yours? That since you can't prove that it's yours, it's mine? Or does Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya not say that? Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya tells Beis Din what to do. We don't know who it is. In the case that we just discussed, it's possibly mine, it's possibly the Kohen. Beis Din has to make a decision what to do. So Beis Din says, since we don't know, Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya. Tosfos learns, Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya is a psak. Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya makes it mine. So this seh that I used, I can reuse. It's my seh. So what's the difference if this I use this seh, or I go to the street, or I go to a coin, or I go to anyone and buy a seh? It's as much this seh is mine as much as any other seh. Rashi doesn't learn like that. Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya is an ahoga. It tells us what to do because we have a question. But we can't definitively say it's mine. If we can't say that it's definitively mine, how could you go use that seh that may not be yours to be paid another seh? The Stipler has a third way that I saw to explain this machlokes. The Stipler says that the machlokes of Rashi and Tosfos is how do we understand the mitzvah of pinyan petach hamor. Clearly, everybody agrees that the mitzvah pinyan petach hamor begins with the pinyan part, that you have to redeem the chamor on the seh. We'll discuss the details of the halacha in the coming shiur. But then there's a second step. Now you have to deliver that seh to the kohen. According to Tosfos, the mitzvah is completed when you did the pinyan. The din that you have to give it to the kohen, that's a separate issue. It has nothing to do with the mitzvah. It's no different than if I have to give you something that belongs to you. But it has nothing to do with the pinyan. So once I did the pinyan, I finished the mitzvah, the seh is now mine, I can reuse it. According to Rashi, you haven't completed the mitzvah until you deliver it to the kohen. So if the seh is by you, and there is a possibility that the seh is really belongs to the kohen, so then the halacha is that you can't use that seh that's still in the middle of the mitzvah. That's why Rashi says you can't reuse that seh. You don't have to give it to the kohen, Hamotzi Mechaveri Olav Haraya, but a seh that you're in the middle with, until you finish the mitzvah, it cannot be reused for the next mitzvah. Achas Bikra v'Achas Loish Bikra. You have two chamorim in your room. One has had children previously and one not. The Yoldeh Shnei Zecharim, and you have two boys. Again, Noisa Tileach L'Kohen. You have to give one Tileach to the Kohen, because there's certainly one of them is a Bechor. Zochav in the Keva. But if you have in this room now a male and a female, so there's a real possibility that the one that had children is the one that had the Zohar. The one that didn't have children is the one that had in the Keva. So the halacha is, you have to go through the pinyan process because of the Sofik, but you can hold on to it. Mafesh Tla'ech La'atzmai. Shnema U'petach Hamor Tifta B'Seh. So there's a machloikis hamafarshim. What is the Mishnah trying to accomplish with these words, Shnema U'petach Hamor Tifta B'Seh? Some mafarshim explain that the Mishnah is really going back to what begins the beginning of the Mishnah. We're going to learn that halacha of Petach Hamor. Says the Mishnah, what is all based on? Halacha Petach Hamor Tifta B'Seh. The problem with that pshat is that these words should have been at the beginning of the Mishnah. The Mishnah should have said, the Torah teaches us Petach Hamor Tifta B'Seh. Now let's talk halacha. So Meshech Chachma, because of this and other questions, says that the pasuk that the Mishnah is coming to teach us is exactly the concept that we've been discussing. The Torah HaKadosh is teaching us, you only have a chiyuv opinion when you know for sure you have a chiyuv. And if you can't, if it's not certain, then you don't have to give the seh. When the Torah says you could use a seh, it could mean either lambs or goats. Zachav and a keva, it could be a male or a female. Girdle of a cotton, a big one or a little one. Tamar ba'mum, blemished or unblemished. Paidabar pamam harbe, the din I said earlier. Everybody agrees you can reuse it. But as I said, Rashi and the posh pshat of the Mishnah is, that means if I gave a kohen the seh, and he gives me back the seh, sells me back the seh, that seh can be reused. Nichnas ladilas aser, they all come together into the fumaiser. We'll discuss this more in daf Yud Aleph. V'mitzashem, v'meis, and if somebody, if the seh dies, nenembah, if the seh or the chamar die, nenembah, we'll see what the Mishnah means, who died and who had an on. Ask the Gemara, man Tana. Who is the Tana of our Mishnah? Suggest the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosi, the like Rabbi Yosi Glili. Our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Glili. Di Rabbi Yosi Glili, according to Rabbi Yosi Glili, Ha'am Efshel Tzamtzim. In Mitzvah Shem, when we begin learning the next parak, and as I said, that's the main subject of our Masechta, we're going to begin learning the halacha of a Bechor Behema, an animal that has a Bechor. And Rabbi Yosi Glili, we're going to learn, teaches us a Gevaldig Chiddush. That let's say an animal had twins, and both twins came out exact same time. Rabbi Yosi Glili is of the opinion that it's possible to have two Bechorim. And you're going to have to give both of those Bechorim to the Kohen. So if our Mishnah said that if two were born, we don't have to do that, obviously our Mishnah is not following the opinion of Yosi Glili. So Tosfos asked the obvious question. Why are we so quick to say that our Mishnah isn't following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Glili? Maybe it's following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Glili. We're just not talking about that case. Rabbi Yosi Glili is speaking about a very specific situation where you saw that both Bechayrim were born simultaneously. So then Rabbi Yosi Glili tells us a chiddush, Efshelot Tzamtzim. It's possible that both came at the exact same moment. But usually that's not the case. So why are we so quick to say he's not the Tana? So Tosfos has a beautiful teretz. He says, what is the principle behind our Mishnah? The principle behind our Mishnah is one vart, that every suffix we have to be concerned about. Doesn't mean you have to give the seh away, but you have to go through the pidyon process. So if, according to Rabbi Yosi Glili, there is such a possibility that there should be two Bechayrim, so why when you walk into the room, the first case of the Mishnah, and you find two babies, does the Mishnah say you only have to do one pidyon? We should have to go through two pidyonim. You only have to give one to the Kohen. I'm listening to Chaver Alvaraya. But we're always concerned about possibilities. Why are we not concerned about that possibility? Obviously, says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yirmiya, because our Mishnah says that even if they were born together, it wouldn't make a difference. Dina Rabbi Yisagli, I'm Efshel Tzamtzim, we should be concerned about it. I'm Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yirmiya. I feel time Rabbi Yisagli. Our Mishnah can be following the opinion of Rabbi Yisagli. For says Abaya, Shani Hosom Diksiv has Bechorim Lashem. This halacha that Rabbi Yosi is teaching us, that you can have two Bechorim, is strictly by Bechor Behemah Torah, nowhere else. But ask the Gemara, V'ligma V'nei, you Abaya, why can't we say the same way Rabbi Yosi Glili says it by Behemah Torah, we should say by Petach Hamor? Answers the Gemara, Hamit Rechman HaZecharim. Says Abaya, Rabbi Yosi Glili would tell you, the Torah uses the words HaZecharim. Strictly by Pehema Tahira, nowhere else. Ikadamri, a different version, and the Mepharshim point out, there's no real difference in this version versus the first version. The only difference is who Abaye was addressing. Says the Gemara, Lema Rabbi Kibloisa Glili. Shouldn't we suggest that our Mishnah isn't following the opinion of Yosef Glili? Dear Rabbi Yosef Glili, I'm Efshel Tzamtzim. And Rabbi Yosef Glili's opinion is Efshel Tzamtzim. I'm Abaye, Phil Tam Rabbi Yosef Glili. It could follow the opinion of Yosef Glili. Because Rabbi Yosi Glili only said his opinion by Bechor Behemoth Tameya, Kushani Hosom Liksiv HaZuchorim LaShem, only by Behemoth Tahira, not by Petah Hamor. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Yirmiyah Deloy Mukikir Rav Yosi HaGlili, Rav Yirmiyah that says that our Mishnah doesn't follow the opinion of Rav Yosi HaGlili, Hanu Dada Tani V'yotzu Shnei Rishayim Kechad. That's why our Mishnah avoids that case, because it doesn't make a difference. Because according to Birmiya, even if both animals came out, there would only be one Bechor. One Bechor there will be, but there will only be one. El Abaya, according to Abaya, why does the Mishnah speak about that case? V'yotzu Shnei Rishayim Kechad. One question. Void, Tanya, the Brisa says, Chamar Rishla Bikra, if Chamar never had children, V'yoldu Shnei Zecharim, and now the two boys that come, that emerge, and they both come out at the exact same moment. Rabbi Yoyi said, Lili, Oimer, Shneim Lekayin. They both go to the Kayin. Shnemar Hazachorim Lashem. That you could have two Bechorim. And ask the Brice on itself. For Hoy Ksiv Hai B'Kadush Saguf with Ksiv. But isn't that a possible by Bechor Behem Ta'ira? How are we applying it to Petach Hamor? El Mishum Shneim Lezachorim Lashem. We say all Zachorim. Not just by Behemoth Tahira, but even by Petach Hamor. So what does this price say? This price says just the opposite of Abaya. That this concept that Rabbi Yosef Aglili has introduced to us is not limited to Bechor Behemoth Tahira, but it's even by Petach Hamor. And Abaya's suggestion that Rabbi Yosef Aglili only said it by Behemoth Tahira, not by Petach Hamor, Tiyuftah Dabaya Tiyuftah is completely refuted. Ask the Gemara. Rabbanan. Let's think about the physical scenario. You have a situation where the two animals are coming out at the same time, these two Bechayrim. So Rabbi Yosef HaGlili taught us, that the Torah teaches us, you could have two Bechayrim. Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Yosef HaGlili. One of them is a Bechor. So ask the Gemara, let's think about it. If the two animals are coming out of the womb, so one animal is indeed touching the womb on one side, and what's it touching on the other side? It's not touching the wall of the womb. It's touching the other animal. So why is that called a Petah Rechem? It must be because it is the opinion of the Rabbanan that it doesn't have to be touching the womb completely. If on one side it's touching the womb, it's good enough. Because if the halacha were to be that you have to touch the womb on both sides, so then when there were two Bechorim born at the same time, then you wouldn't have any Bechor. Rabbanan agree that we have one Bechor. Rabbanan, in analyzing the opinion of the Rabbanan, says the Gemara, Lei mikasav Rabbanan mixes Rechem Magdish. Di kula Rechem Magdish, if we're going to say that you have to have that the womb touches the animal that's a Bechor from both sides, Nadi Efshla Tzamtzim, and yes, Rabbanan hold the one who came out, it's impossible that they came out mamish at the exact same moment. One came out first, but it was not completely touching the womb. On the other side, it had its brother, its twin brother, standing it between it and the rechem. Chatzitza mi'ika. Why don't we have a chatzitza? Answers the Gemara, Amarav, mimba mina ene chatzitza. Who's the chatzitza? The brother. The brother is not a chatzitza. Says Taisus. Says it was Shainim, Gvaldik. A brother is not a chatzitza, a sister would be a chatzitza. The question is, why? Why is a sister more of a chatzitza than a brother? Because, let's think about it. The sister we could understand as a chatzitza because a sister and a brother are different. But if you think about it in that way, then one is a bechor and one is not a bechor. So why is a brother less of a chatzitza than a sister? So the Rishonim say, the Mefarshim say a beautiful pshat. We learned this halacha. When does a Bechor become a Bechor? Only when it comes out, Rosh Shavarubai. So when you have two brothers coming out, neither is a Bechor yet. So they're both two boys. And we don't even know who's going to be the one that ultimately comes out mostly Rosh Shavarubai. That's why one is not a chatzitza to the other one. But the sister can never be a Bechor. That's why she's a chatzitza. Furthermore, the Mefarshim say that even there's a question we learned the Gemara Masech Sukkah. The Gemara Masech Sukkah discusses that what is the halacha if somebody, most people, the minhag is, when they take the lulav, they have it in a kashalach. They have it in a holder that's made out of luluf branches. And the reason it could do it is because mimimina ain't a chaitzitz. Some hold the mimimina chaitzitz. How do we reconcile saying that mimimina is a chaitzitz by the luluf and not here? So they explain that there it involves a maisa, picking it up. You have to hold it. So there maybe it's worse than here where you're not doing it, where you're actually picking it up. One final interesting question. What happens if a boy is born and he's a bechor, and the doctor, he's not born with a cesarean section, but the doctor needs to use forceps to help get him out of the mother's womb. So now we have a situation that there's been a little of a chatzitza where the clamps touch the baby's head between the baby and the womb. What would be the halacha? So the Avni Nezer says, and now you have it from both sides. The Avni Nezer says that that child is not considered a bechor. Because you have to have peta rechem. You have to have peta rechem. And there it's not mimin b'minoi. It's a forceps. It's not a brother. It's certainly a mim b'shein b'minoi. And the Avni Nezer paskins that you can't consider that child a bechor. Ramosha says he doesn't know. You have to be Ramosha to say this. He says he's looked through the Rishonim and the Achronim. He says this halacha is only said by behema. There's no halacha by Adam that it has to be no chatzitza. As long as it's a pet rechem, even if there was some sort of a chatzitza, a minimal chatzitza, he is considered a bechor. Says the Gemara. Zochav in the keva. We learned in the Mishnah. Zochav in the keva. A boy and a girl were born. We don't know if it was a boy who was first or if it was a girl who was first. So the Mishnah pasuk in Mafresh Tleh. Do a pigeon, but you don't have to give it to the Kohen. Hamaytzim chavera olav araya. Ask the Gemara, v'kiva in the latzmayhu, if you're going to be keeping the set anyway, lamalef rushe, so what's the point of this entire procedure? Answers the Gemara, lafkui l'sirmine. You have to go through the pigeon procedure, because the pigeon procedure takes off from the petach hamar, the isser. Alma, says the Gemara, it's obvious that our Mishnah is of the opinion, Kivin de loy mafka, until you actually go through a pigeon procedure, asa bahano. What's the raya? The Achronim are very troubled. Well, what's the raya? So the Achronim, I saw, there's a number of pshatim, I'll say two pshatim. One pshat is that we saw in the Mishnah, didn't only speak about this case, but all types of scenarios where even if there's a remote suffix, you have to go through the pigeon procedure. So if there's a shtarki isser, if there's a serious isser, we could understand why you have to go through the precision procedure. But if the isser is a weak isser, it's not even asa bahana, then why would the Mishnah be concerned for every type of scenario that we still have to go through the pigeon procedure? It's one pshat. Another pshat is that the fact that it's asa bahana makes us be concerned more. So who asked the Gemara is the Tanavah Mishnah? Mas nisimani, says the Gemara of Yehudi. It's obviously the opinion of Yehuda. The Tanya petach amar, Osbano. Until you go through a pigeon procedure, the petach hamar is osbano. Rav Shimon matter. Rav Shimon says it's mutter, even though you haven't gone through the pigeon procedure. My tam de Yehuda. Ask the Mar, why is Rav Yehuda so strict? Amar ula, yesh l'chadavish tzarf pedia. Is there anything that has to go through a pigeon procedure? Umutter, and it's mutter. Ask the Mar, of course there is. V'rei b'char adam. Let's think about a Bechor Adam. Shetzorach pedia umutter. What does that mean? You don't think in these terms because we're used to having a pinyan aben by 30 days. But let's say you had an adult that never had a pinyan aben. And now he comes to the recognition that he has to have a pinyan aben. Does that mean that everything that he did until he had a pinyan aben, he did it when he was 90 years old? Everything he did to then is also bahana? Of course not. So it says the Gemara, the same thing. Shouldn't it be the same by Petach Hamar. So our Gemara, and this is the halacha, as we'll see, is clearly indicating that a Bechor Adam, we have to go through a pidyon, doesn't have any Kedusha. But the Trumas Hadeshin says that even though from a halachic financial standpoint, the truth is, you may have anah from Bechor Adam that didn't have pidyon, there is a Kedusha on a Bechor until he has the pidyon aben. If any of you have ever attended a pinyan aben, what does the kohen say? That the money, zeh tach zeh, So it obviously is a level of Kedusha that's being removed. Ella, says the Gemara, Yesh lecha davar shekpidah laftar b'seh, says the Gemara, is there a situation where the Torah is required that a specific item be used for the pinyon? Umutter? Ask the Gemara, Umi yekpidah, did the Torah say you have to use something specifically for petach hamar? V'rav nechemer b'rei d'rav Yosef, parak lei, Bishilki, he would used to use grass to be pied at the petach hamar. Says Mar b'shavya, as long as it gave the full value of the petach hamar. Says the Gemara, that's not what it meant. B'shavya lekamar, if you're going to be pied at the petach hamar for its value, you could use anything. Ki kamrinan, what does he mean? Shalai b'shavya, that if you want to use something that is less valuable than the petach hamar. And the way to understand what he says is as follows. If you want to do pigeon, and you don't want to have to use the exact value, you could take a set, which is a lot less valuable than the chamor, and it'll be affect the pigeon. But only if you use a set. So you see that when the Torah requires that there be pigeon, the Torah is requiring a specific item to be used for pidyon, and there the Gemara is suggesting that it's osa b'hana until you do the pidyon. We're going to learn in our coming shiurim a machlokes rishonim. The Gemara here is suggesting, which is the halacha, that there are two options how to do pidyon petach hamar. Either take a seh, and then it doesn't make a difference the value of the seh, or use something else, but it has to be equal in value to the value of the chamar. Is there a preference? Does that mean you could do either way? Or the Rambam seems to learn that even though you could do either way, it's preferable to use a set. Ask the Gemara, I'll show you that that isn't true. Very Maisa, Shekpida lof Torah because of Tsuri. We know that if you're going to be paid the Maisa Sheni, you have to use money that's minted, coinage that's minted, v'tanan, and yet we're going to, the Mishnah says, Masechta Kedushin, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Mezid Kiddush, that if somebody was Mekadish and Isha with a Maisa Sheni, the Halach is the Kedushin, the valid Kedushin. So there's a few points to make. First of all, it's only the Mezid. Because if it was B'shoigig, either the husband or the wife didn't know that it was Maisa Sheni, they could always claim, had we known there was Maisa Sheni, she could always say, I wasn't interested in taking it. I didn't want to get stuck with Maisa Sheni produce. And he could always say, I didn't mean to give you Maisa Sheni. I know that Maisa Sheni belongs in Yerushalayim. I got confused. Only in a case where he knew it was Maisa Sheni. Furthermore, very big machlokes rishonim. So if a woman accepts Maisa Sheni produce for Kedushin, the Mishnah tells us it was the Mezid. They both knew what they were getting into. The Kedushin is the Kedushin. But when is the Kedushin valid? Some rishonim say it's only a valid Kedushin when they get to Yerushalayim. Because until she gets to Yerushalayim, she can't do anything with it. She's not allowed to eat it. Other Rishonim say no. Since it has value, albeit that the fruit can't be eaten until you get to Yerushalayim, but it has value, the Kedushin is already valid outside of Yerushalayim. But what's the question that's relevant to us? Here we see that the Torah tells us that you have to use a specific type of item for Kedushin, for pidyon, and yet it doesn't have Kedusha. So the same way Petach Hamar, even though the Torah says you have to use a special item, a seh, that doesn't mean as kedushin. Says the Gemara, bepetach hamar, that isn't a question, because the halacha is bepetach hamar nami mekatsha. If somebody gave a woman a petach hamar, the kedushin would be a kedushin. Why? Because we apply the following concept. Kedabalozer, damabalozer, just like Ishia das, shei maisa sheni mischal al yoda, she recognizes that she can't do anything with the maisa sheni. For all of our chels b'shalayim, it's only valuable as a food in Yerushalayim. Hacha, nami ishi adas, the petach hamar is sura ispa, that you're not allowed to have hanor from the petach hamar, until, uperkele b'sa, umekatsha b'hachta b'ni b'ni. She recognizes that the petach hamar is osa b'hanor. And therefore, if she receives a petach hamar for kedushin, it's osa b'hanor. But we just finished learning the halacha is, that the seh that you use for the petach hamar's pidyon, to be less valuable than the petach hamar. So when the woman accepts the Petach Amar for the Kedushin, she doesn't assume that she's getting the Petach Amar. She's getting the difference in value between the Chamar and the Seh. That has value. But that isn't yet a Raya that you can't have a Nor from Petach Amar, that you can have a Nor from Petach Amar. So the Gemara is suggesting now that since the Torah says that you have to use a specific item for the pigeon, a Seh, wherever, and by Maisa Sheni it'll be the same, wherever the Torah requires that a specific type of item be used for the pigeon, it's also Bahano, until you do the pigeon. That's Reb Yehuda's reasoning why Petach Amar is also Bahano. Reb Shimon, we said earlier, disagrees with Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon's opinion is that a Petach Amar is Mutar Bahano. My Tama, Amalach, Amalula Yesh Lecha Dovah Shepidyon Mutar V'Hu Asur. He makes a very simple argument. When you give the Kohen, when you go through a pigeon process, the right way, the perfect way, that you take the Chamor and you point it with a Seh, and you give it to the Kohen, what could the Kohen do with that? The Kohen can do anything he wants with it. So that is the Raya, says Reb Shimon, that the Chamor is Mutar Bahano. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'loy, v'rei Shvius, the Pidyana Mutar, if you point the Shvius produce on a different item, it's mutter, visura, and yet the Shvi'is product has Kedusha Shmiya. Says the Gemara, Shvi'is nami pidyonai, so that's not true. Says the Gemara, what does that mean? Let's say I have Shmita fruit, and I sell to you for a piece of meat. So now the piece of meat has on it Kedusha Shvi'is. You sell that piece of meat to somebody else for whatever, that item, the meat no longer has the Kedusha Shvi'is, but the next does. So Shvi'is does continue having the Kedusha. So your Raya is not a good Raya, actually. So the Chazanish asks the obvious question. The Gemara knew how to learn as well as we do. So the Havamin in the Gemara that said that Shvi'is doesn't carry further, what's Pshat? The Gemara didn't know that Shvi'is does carry further. So the Chazanish says that the Gemara and the Havamin assumed as follows. Let's say we know there's a din of Biyah Shmita. What does the din of Biyah Shmita say? That when a fruit is no longer available, you could gather fruit during the Shmita year. You're not allowed to do business with Shmita produce. But you can eat it, you can take it home. However, when the Zman comes that there's none of that fruit available in the field, that's the Zman of Biyah. The Gemara and the Havamin says the Chazanish assumed that let's say we have apples and oranges, and I exchange my Shemitah apples for oranges. And now, the Zman of Beer for apples came, but it isn't yet the Zman of Beer of oranges. The Gemara held that you don't have to burn the oranges yet. Says Gemara, that's why it was the Gemara's mistake. And the truth is, says the Gemara, no, that the oranges get the Kedusha of the apples, and you have to burn it by the Zman of the Beer of the apples. Shvi'is nami pijana asa, dama achron asa. So therefore, the Gemara is saying that the reason for Reb Shimon is since the seh that you use to be poida has no kedusha, that's why it's raya that the chamar doesn't either. V'bay seima. Now the Gemara suggests a different way of explaining the machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. Yehuda Reb Shimon haikrok mefli. They're arguing over pshat in the following pasuk. The Torah says, "Lisavet bepchor sharecha, avil ata oivet b'shulcha, v'loish b'shalachayrim." You know how to work with the bechor of your shor, but you're allowed to work with the bechor that you share with a guy. To review something that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. If you will recall, we learned at the beginning of the Masechta a very fundamental machloikus of Yehuda and the Chachamim. What is the halacha if you are a partner with a guy in a bechor? The Chachamim hold there's no kedushas bechor on that animal. Yehuda holds there is kedushas bechor. Says Rabbi Yehuda that even though this bechor that I'm a partner with, an Akum with, has Kedushas Bechor, still, even though normally the halacha is that you're not allowed to work with a Bechor, this Bechor that you have a non-Jewish partner in, you're allowed to work with. L'savet Bechor Sherecha, aval ata oivet b'shalcha b'shalachayim. You could work with an animal that you own in partnership with an Akum. Furthermore, the pasuk says, l'savet Bechor Tzoyncha, you're not allowed to shear the wool of a Bechor. Again, says Rabbi Yehuda, Avogoyz Shulchav Shulchayim. Even though normally you're not allowed to shear the wool of a Bechor, if you have a non-Jewish partner in the Bechor, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that the Torah is teaching us you could shear its wool. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Shimon Aimer, Loisavet Bechor Sharcha, Avalat Oivet Bechor Adam. Loisargas Bechor Tzoincha, Avalat Togoyz Bechor Chamar. So it's very simple. Rav Shimon says the Pasuk is coming to teach us that you could use the Petach Amar and the Bechor Adam that I spoke about earlier. Rav Yehuda says the Pasuk is coming to teach us something else, and therefore, indeed, the halacha is that a Petach Amar you can't have Hanar from. Ask the Gemara, let's understand this Pasuk. Bishlamu Rav Shimon, Hainidik Siv Tri Kroy. We can understand why the two Pesukim want to teach us that a Bechor Adam doesn't have Kedusha, that's Mutabahana, and the one to teach us that a Petach Amar is Mutabahana. But Rabbi Yehuda, what is the both Pesukim teaching us? That even though normally there are halachas associated with a Bechor that I have in partnership with Akum, those halachas don't apply to. But why do I have to have two Pesukim to teach us the exact same din? El Rabbi Yehuda, Trey Kroy, Lamuti Shlachavish Lachayrim, Lamali. What do I need two Pesukim to teach me the exact same rule? The Su, Rabbi Yehuda, Bechor Adam, Nami Neimid Aser. Rav Shimon used one of these Pesukim to teach us that you're allowed to have benefit from a Bechor Adam. Rabbi Yehuda, the way we're explaining the Pesukim, has no Pesuk available for that. Is that true? Will Rabbi Yehuda indeed hold that you can't have benefit from a Bechor Adam? Says the Gemara, regroups itself. Everybody agrees that the word sharcha is coming to teach us that a Bechor Adam is muta b'hano. Key pligi, what is the machloikas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in the word b'tzayincha? Rabbi Yehuda tamei, as I said at the beginning of the Masech, Rabbi Yehuda taught us, shutus ayvu kachavim, chayevus b'b'chayra, that a shutus akmes chayev b'b'chayra, comes the pasuk to teach us, that even though it does have its din of a Bechor, only to a certain point. The Chiyetz Akra, the Mishra begins of Avoida. That even though normally you're not allowed to take the wool of a Bechor, Behema, and normally you're not allowed to work with a Bechor, Behema, the Bechor, Behema that you have Shutvas Akum with, these laws don't apply to. Rabbi Shimon Sover, Rabbi Shimon holds like the Rabbanan that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, first Mishra of the Masechta. That Shutvas Avdik Achavim, if you have a non-Jewish partner, it's certainly not a Bechor. And therefore, to teach us the Bechor that you have is Shutvus and Akum, there's no problem with the Giza and Avoida. Of course there's no problem with the Giza and Avoida. It doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Ulinyan Giza Avoida, lo Yitzchak Kra. Because it doesn't have Kedushas Bechor. Ki Yitzchak Kra, lift the Petach Amar. So that's, Nana Machlaikas has been reduced. Everybody agrees that Sharcha comes to teach us not Bechor Adam. The question is, what do I do with the next word? According to Yehuda, it's come to talk about when you have Shutvas Akum. According to Shimon, I don't need that. So it's available to teach us the Gilad of Anor for Petach Amar. Rav Yehuda has no available Pasuk, and therefore Yehuda indeed is going to learn the Gilad of Anor, as the Gemara said on top of Amid, from a Petach Amar. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rav Yehuda, Hanidik Siv, Tzoyncha Visharach, Hainadiktiv tzoyncha. Why did Torah use the word tzoyncha? It's very understandable. Tzoyncha, only the tzoyn that belongs completely to you, not that you have a partnership with. V'sharcha to tzoyncha. And then the Torah used the word sharcha, even though the lesson of the word shar, which means shar v'loy adam, could be learned without the Torah saying that suffix chaf. But since the Torah used the word tzoyncha, which there is suffix of chaf, is crucial to teach us only your shor and not only your tzoyn and not the tzoyn that you share. That's why the Torah, to remain consistent, used the word tzoyncha. El Rav Shimon, sharcha v'tzoyncha lamali. According to Rav Shimon, let's review. What did the word shor come to teach us? Shor v'loy adam. What did tzor come to teach us? Tzoyn v'loy petach amar. So that lesson could have been taught without that suffix. Shor, as I just said, shor v'loy adam, tzoyn v'loy petach amar. Why did the Torah have to put in that suffix? Kasha. The Gemara says that is indeed a problem with Rav Shimon's opinion. But that's how we're on the shear. Just because you have a kasha doesn't mean you refute it. The pshat remains pshat. What does